This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. We're turning our attention to an interesting subject here, generational spending. Now, the Monetary Authority of Singapore thinks that the country's Gen Z is spending carelessly because many are opting for the Buy Now, Pay Later service, or BNPL, for their purchases. In fact, the MAS encouraged people to avoid borrowing for shopping sprees, saying in an article that people should spend within their means and not see BNPL schemes as a way to buy items they can't afford.
I can't help but think about buy now, pay later as the way governments operate as well, right? But hey, we're all not sovereign entities.
Our government, yeah, the US government.
Governments in general, right? But so Gen Z is a particularly interesting one because depending on which source you look at, some say they're digital natives and born after 2000, but there are also the Pew Research Center says that there are the generation is defined by people born after 1996 with no end date in mind. So anyway, the BNPL service is fast becoming a popular mode of payment in Singapore and in Malaysia as well. It's also growing very fast and in other parts of Southeast Asia, and it allows buyers to spread out the cost of a purchase over a few months without interest fees. And the COVID-19 pandemic has only exacerbated its use, with those between 20 and 35 years old making up the bulk of users, according to data from BNPL companies.
So are younger people moving away from the traditional mindset of spending and debt that Asians are so used to? And if so, are there consequences in embracing such services? For answers, we're turning to Anton Radenclaw, partner and head of financial services at KPMG Singapore. Anton, thank you so much for joining us today. So what observations can you share with us about Gen Z's spending habits?
Well, I think you sort of, good morning, guys. So you touched on the right topic initially. I think people do want to buy now and spend later. I think we're in an as-a-service generation. I go with the 1996 definition for Gen Z, but millennials even, you know, want to be able to buy something and then smooth that payment over time. We've lost the notion of a savings culture in the last generation or two. So that very much is something that I think the regulators do need to embrace and understand.
What is driving this BNPL trend among the Gen Z, despite being supported by parents?
It's actually the buy now, pay later and payments providers themselves, I think, that are driving it. I don't think it's actually a pull from any consumer markets, to be open with you. A huge amount of liquidity and investment have gone into these fintech, you know, the largest of them being Klarna, who invented really this category, you know, valued at $45 billion now in Afterpay. Australia valued at $30 billion. So I'd argue investors are driving a lot of this change in behaviour. We have a proliferation of buy now, pay later fintechs here in Southeast Asia, last count 12. And so they're making this service available. If you go back a few years ago, we used to have something called store cards. Remember those? You could, you know, rock up to a large department store, they would sign you up for their store card and you'd use that. And really that is morphed into this generation of buy now, pay later products.
So Anton, so I think this is a kind of like another version of a few years ago in Malaysia, what started was these, you could spread out your payments on your credit card, right, over 12, 24 months, depending on the credit card provider you have. Some are of the opinion that this service is, that BNPL is a better and safer bet compared to earning, using a credit card and the high interest charges that can potentially come with that. Do you necessarily agree with this sentiment?
I have some agreement with that, but I also diverge. I think there's a couple of things. The product is very simple. You buy something, you agree a set of payments to pay that back with no interest. And if you miss your payment due dates, of course you get a huge fee to recover the cost of that credit risk. And so from a consumer's perspective, that works really well. And actually, where is the interest gone? It's actually being paid by the retailer going forward. So buy now, pay later has moved the costs from the consumer over into the retailer. So that's one good thing, I think, about the proposition. That's why it works so well. However, there are slight concerns, I suppose, and you know, what is affordable, how much debt can someone load into their own cash flow and be able to keep things affordable and work well in their own budgeting. And I think what we've seen so far in the likes of the UK, which is well ahead in the trend for this particular product, is we're starting to see a good portion of the population there overspending. And although the buy now, pay later teams will say this is not credit, it is ready credit. So whenever we see these new products evolve, there becomes a bit of a credit bubble, and that needs to be normalized generally through regulation protecting the vulnerable.
And what kind of regulation should we be looking at? Is this incumbent upon, because there is a little bit of a fine line that they're playing with here, that trying to make it sound like it's not credit, but in actuality, it does behave like credit. What kind of regulations do we need in order to kind of manage this? Because as you noted, there's only so much debt that we can load on a person and spread it over time.
Yeah, probably three things. One is giving people options and information at the point of taking this lending, so they recognise what they're getting into, that it's not essentially free money, that they do need to pay it back on time, and they also have rights and obligations beyond just taking the loan and moving on. So that's one. But second thing I would say is that the industry, and this is a big sort of regulatory drive, needs to be able to communicate these thin credit file information around these products across the different providers. So at the moment, I could go and sign up for lots of different facilities with different providers. No one would know that it's me doing that. And so you don't really have that kind of view of creditworthiness.
Well, just following up from Roshan's question, aside from financial education, do authorities like Monetary Authority of Singapore need to tighten the rules on BNPLs because they are essentially non-bank financial institutions?
They do. Because also those institutions are running credit risk in their own right. Klarna is the best example. They had massive credit losses at the beginning of the COVID crisis. They could sustain that because they had the equity sitting in their treasury. Most smaller fintechs don't. So I agree with you. I think the MAS does need to tighten up, protect customers, but also protect the stability of the financial system. This is a very, very fast growing area. And we're going to have a lot of debt sitting in these buy now, pay later fintech institutions very, very shortly.
So this is a system that it kind of subverts the traditional mindset of debt. Do you think that this service is here to stay, though, moving forward?
Yes, I think so. And I think it'll probably evolve further. I'm sure these firms will move into new areas of services as well as they build out adjacencies to keep their businesses viable. I don't think this is around fearing the future and stopping new things happening. It's just ensuring that we're safe as we move into new areas that we're exploring as a market in its own right.
Anton, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Anton Ruddenclaw, a partner and head of financial services at KPMG Singapore, shedding some light on new spending trends that we're seeing, particularly amongst Gen Zs, with the buy now, pay later trend, which he does think is here to stay. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.